Either way, in this scenario he is several floors underground, inside a bunker designed to ride out nuclear war. It is the middle of the night in Russia. It is cold. There is snow on the ground. The Russian president has been awakened from sleep and now he is on a video conference call. With him are Russia TMS2 top generals. The defense minister and the chief of the general staff of Russia TMS armed forces. These three individuals are understood to each have beside them, at all times, one of Russia TMS3 nuclear briefcases that transmits orders for a nuclear strike. The briefcase is called the Chkit. Russia TMS football. In November 2020, the Kremlin released a rare transcript of a meeting between President Vladimir Putin and his top generals in which the president outlined the importance of command and control bunkers, and their communications systems, in a nuclear war. We are aware that a lot depends on the survivability of these systems and their ability to continue operating in a combat environment, he said. And he emphasized how all equipment, hardware and communication systems of the nuclear forces control systems had been recently upgraded. At the same time, Putin said, they remain as simple and reliable as a Kalashnikov rifle. In this scenario, Russia TMS president and his family have been residing in a bunker, off and on, since the winter of 2022, when the Russian military attacked its neighbor Ukraine and Russia TMS leadership became pariahs of the West. Down in the bunker, the Russian president flips through Western news channels on satellite TV. From reports on still-functioning cable news stations, it is clear the US has been hit by nuclear attack. Big cities are experiencing mass exodus the likes of which have never before been seen. In New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Chicago, helicopters flying overhead capture the mayhem as millions of people try to leave these cities, all at the same time. Widespread chaos, violence, and anarchy have begun. The Russian president eyes the terror unfolding across the United States and wonders who is in control. Nuclear war planners in the US and in Russia have long wondered what will happen to society when nuclear war to begin. And what about military command and control? Who is in charge? Defense departments run on hierarchy. A follows B follows C in a pyramid of power. In a time of nuclear crisis, a central question remains. Who will perform their job dutifully and who will ditch their post and run? Will those in the military chain of command choose country over family, or family over country? Can anyone predict such things? Will fate and circumstance play a role? In this scenario, news reporters in smaller cities like Des Moines, Iowa, and Little Rock, Arkansas, continue to broadcast information, removed as they are by a 1,000 miles a TM distance from the nuclear attacks. Many big city headquarters ATM facilities are down, or unable to broadcast anymore. Internet is hit or miss. Tens of millions of people in America cannot access the news. The Russian president ATM's nuclear bunker, like Site R, presently has electricity, internet, and hardwired telephone service. Underground bunkers are built for redundancy. Their critical infrastructure components, including air, heat, and water, are duplicated for resilience in emergencies and crises. Multiple high-capacity fiber optic lines provide uninterrupted communications systems. The backup generators have backup generators. In nuclear war, measurable distance from ground zero is everything. But when you are in charge, nothing is more important than speed. As Ronald Reagan once lamented, the US president has only 6 minutes to respond after being notified by his advisors of an incoming nuclear attack. Now the Russian president faces the same insanely small window of time in which he must act. In 2022, Vladimir Putin promised to a lightning-fast response to notification of any incoming strikes against Russia, a threat widely interpreted as referring to Russia TMS nuclear triad. 2 years before that, in 2020, he referred to upgrades in Russia TMS nuclear forces as being marked by incredible speed. Not Formula One fast, Putin said, A.S. Supersonic Fast. This is the moment, the time to act fast. Several minutes have already been wasted watching satellite TV. The Russian president has just a few minutes remaining in which to decide what to do. An either or paradox confronts Russia TMS president. Either the US believes Russia is responsible for the nuclear strikes against the US, or the US knows Russia is not responsible for the nuclear strikes against the US. For nuclear attack options, the US has the football. Russia has the chkit, a small, similarly styled briefcase kept close to the president, and two others, at all times. The chkit is the centerpiece of Russia TMS president-centric nuclear command and control, same as the football is the centerpiece of America TMS president-centric nuclear command and control. Inside the chkit is Russia TMS version of a black book, a dinner menu-like list of nuclear strike options to choose from and fast. The chkit connects its possessor to the Russian general staff, the military officers at the command center in central Moscow. These are the generals and the admirals who control the physical launch mechanisms for Russia TMS nuclear triad. Its sea land air-based nuclear arsenal, which is almost identical in size to that maintained by the United States. Russia has 1,674 nuclear weapons deployed, a majority of which are on ready for launch status. On hair trigger alert. With the president here in the underground bunker is the Secretary of the Security Council, a most hawkish advisor in the inner circle. The secretary is a man with profound influence over the Russian president, a member of the so-called Siloviki, the enforcers. No fan of the West, the secretary has stated publicly his belief that the AIC concrete goal of America and her allies is the breakup of Russia, going so far as to accuse the US military of preparing for a biological war against the Russian people, adding neither context nor details. In this moment of intense crisis, the Secretary of the Security Council reminds the Russian president that he is running out of time, that he must make a decision about how he will act. The president asks his advisors to review what Moscow has confirmed as facts or what Russia TMS early warning system has revealed to them. For decades, the Soviet Union claimed not to have a launch on warning posture. Pavel Podvig tells us the Russian policy was, allegedly, to first absorb attacking warheads before launching a counterattack of their own. If this was Soviet propaganda, or was true, remains subject to debate. What is clear is that, recently, Russia TMS official posture changed. In a 2018 interview at the Kremlin, President Putin was asked if he would use nuclear weapons on early warning notification alone. The decision to use nuclear weapons can only be made if our missile attack warning system not only recorded the launch of missiles, Putin said, also gave an accurate forecast and flight trajectories, and the time when they fall on Russian soil. In other words, if Tundra satellites see missiles on their way, and a secondary early warning system confirms flight trajectories and estimated attack times, Russia can and will launch nuclear weapons in response. It will not wait to absorb a nuclear blow. It is along the razor TMS edge that the Russian president and TMS advisors must now walk. The defense minister, the chief of the general staff of the armed forces, and the secretary of the Security Council must report missile attack warning information to the president with the authority of inner circle advisors, while balancing technological uncertainties that exist. The limitations of Russia TMS early warning Tundra satellite system, its flaws and its weaknesses are well known to scientists in the West, and likely to scientists in Russia as well. But do the advisors know? Or have they been kept in the dark? The advisors brief the Russian president on what they know or think they know. 20 minutes ago, a nuclear power plant in California was hit by a nuclear bomb. 10 minutes ago, the Pentagon, the White House, the Congress, and all of Washington were destroyed by a second nuclear bomb. A few minutes later, Russia TMS Tundra satellites recorded launch of 100 or more Minuteman ICBMs from silos in Wyoming. A GRU asset near one of these ICBM sites confirmed launch with his eyes. Serpukhov 15 radars confirm 100 or more ICBMs coming over the North Pole. 3 minutes ago, Voronezh radars in Barnaul and Irkutsk reported a submarine-launched salvo of missiles coming in from the south. 2 minutes ago, Komsomolskoye confirmed these warheads. There are hundreds of them. The situation is this. The warning system has recorded the launch of US missiles. There are hundreds of warheads attacking Russia from two sides. The forecast is that they will fall on Russian soil starting in about 9 minutes, ATM time. On a satellite television station playing inside the Russian bunker, an American newscaster in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, breaks the Russian president a TMS reverie. The anchorman tells the audience that no one in the US seems to know who is attacking the United States, what is really going on, or woe if Anemia is actually in charge. That the US president has not addressed the nation, which is terrifying and troubling. He uses the word A as a real dot A and then, the anchorman asks, is it Russia? He asks this out loud, on air, to no one in particular. Who else would dare do this? Is capable of such brutality? Down in the Russian bunker, 6 floors underground, the Secretary of the Security Council tells the President he has 90 seconds, remaining to decide what actions to take. The Russian President asks if the American President has called him. The answer isn't yet. Number. The Russian President asks who from the White House has called. An aide steps forward and reads from a timesheet. The U.S. National Security Advisor called. The U.S. Secretary of Defense called. The Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff called. Russia TMS President considers a second set of either, or facts. Either hundreds of warheads approaching Russia on ballistic trajectories are targeting Russia, or hundreds of warheads approaching Russia on ballistic trajectories are not targeting Russia. Everyone here in the Russian bunker, and on the satellite video conference from the command center in Moscow, knows Russia did not attack the US with nuclear bombs. And they know US early warning radar systems are enviably accurate, which makes them all reasonably sure that the US president and his generals know the nuclear attack did not originate on Russian soil. But they also know the US president who and possibly every leader in the Western world despises the Russian leadership. And that when the US wants regime change, history shows the US will lie. Everyone in the bunker is now thinking about the same historical event. Words emerge from thoughts and a brief discussion ensues. How, back in 2003, when President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney wanted to get rid of the President of Iraq, they put forth the narrative about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction, a story full of colorful details like yellow cake uranium from Africa, and got the entire United States Congress to go along with the lie. The result was an all-out attack against, and invasion of, the sovereign nation that is Iraq. The defense minister tells the Russian president he has 30 seconds, remaining to make a decision. To launch or not to launch nuclear weapons against the United States. As in America, launching nuclear weapons is the Russian president a TMS call. It is his and his alone. The chief of the general staff reminds the president that the launch on warning condition has been met. And he reminds the president of his position on nuclear use. From his interview in the Kremlin in 2018. The President of Russia is furious. The President of the United States has not reached out to him. He sees this not just as an insult, but as a sign of something else. Like many leaders, the Russian leader in this scenario is also prone to paranoia. He now believes Russia is being targeted by America for a decapitation strike. This fear is deep-seated. Going back to Soviet times, former Washington Post Moscow bureau chief David Hoffman provides a chilling example of just how serious this paranoia was during the Cold War. How fearful Soviet leaders believed America intended to launch a massive, preemptive nuclear strike against Russian nuclear command and control, and to counter that potential decapitation-style attack, the Soviets developed a system known as the Dead Hand. A system to ensure that if Moscow gets preemptively attacked, Nuclear war will not end until Russia TMS entire arsenal is emptied at zero. Officially called Perimeter, the Dead Hand works as an automatic control system made up of seismic sensors capable of detecting a nuclear strike on Russian soil. Should the system perceive it has lost communication with Russia TMS commanders, the Dead Hand can allegedly launch nuclear weapons on its own. The original blueprint was a sort of doomsday machine that would launch, without any human action at all, A. Hoffman says. A mechanized system pre-programmed for a final, Armageddon-like series of retaliation strikes. These blueprints have reportedly been refined, but the system is still in use. Whether or not it can launch without an actual human hand remains unknown. But it demonstrates how paranoid a leader in possession of a world-ending arsenal can be. A pre tilde diaris is s moi, le d a tilde copyright luge. Paranoia is a psychological phenomenon, same as deterrence. The consequences of a paranoid leader at TMS fear of a preemptive decapitation strike are as real as the nuclear weapons themselves. True in this scenario. True in real life. In this scenario, we don't UTMT know why the North Korean leader chose to launch a bolt out of the blue attack against America, but paranoia almost most certainly played a role. And now paranoia fuels the Russian president in his decision, one that must be made under threat of a ticking clock. Faced with what he believes are hundreds of nuclear warheads bearing down on Russian soil launched by the opportunistic Americans in a preemptive sneak attack, the Russian president chooses to launch. The military aid opens the chit. The Russian president chooses the most extreme nuclear strike option from Russia TMS Black Book. He reads the launch codes from a document inside. As in the US, Russia TMS nuclear weapons can take just minutes to launch. What is done cannot be undone. 45 minutes, Domarovsky, Russia, 5700 miles from Washington, D.C., at the Domarovsky ICBM complex in southwestern Siberia, a patch of snow sparkles in the moonlight. It is 12:48 a.m. local time, 20 miles north of Kazakhstan. Barbed wire fencing and landmines surround the facility, with rings of automated grenade launchers and remote-controlled machine gun installations also keeping guard. As in the U.S. missile fields in Wyoming, there are doors in the earthen floor. Steel silo lids lying flush with the night sky. To passers-by, Domarovsky is Forest Service country, where milk and paper plants supply locals with jobs. To Russian nuclear forces, it is home to the most powerful, most destructive ICBM in the world. The son of Satan ballistic missile, as it is known in the West. Russia calls these missiles the RS-28 Sarmut, in honor of a tribe of warrior horsemen from the 5th century BCE. In much the same way, the US calls its ICBMs the Minutemen, an homage to its tribe of warrior horsemen from the American Revolutionary War. The West calling Russia TMS ICBMs Sons of Satan helps further the idea they are evil. That Minutemen ICBMs are good and valiant soldiers engineered to defend and protect. No matter how the nomenclature is spun, these two arsenals of mass destruction are poised and ready to destroy the world. The madness of mad is that the two sides are like a mirror. Like the myth of Narcissus but with a biblical twist, a madman stares in a pond, sees his image on the surface of the water, and mistakes himself for his enemy. Falling for the illusion, he attacks, slips into the water, and drowns. But not before he unleashes Armageddon first. The US has 400 ICBMs buried in silos across the land. Russia has 312 ICBMs, in silos and on-road mobile launchers. Unlike America TMS single warhead Minutemen missiles, some of Russia TMS ICBMs can carry up to 10 500 kiloton bombs in each warhead bus. This means a single Son of Satan can transport some 5 megatons of nuclear destruction. Roughly one half the yield of the Ivy Mike thermonuclear device, which obliterated an entire island in the Pacific, leaving behind a hole the size of 14 pentagons. Russia is the largest country in the world, by far. More than 100 ICBM silos like the ones here in Domarevsky. Its vast landscape, its 11 time zones. Russia has 11 or 12 ICBM divisions, each staffed by 2 to 6 regiments of in Barnaul, Irkutsk, Kozelsk, Novosibirsk, Nizhny Tagil, Tatishkvo, Takovo, Yuza, Vipulsovo, Yoshkar-Ola, and Domarevsky. Hans Christensen, the director of the Federation of American Scientists at TM Nuclear Information Project, along with associates Matt Corder, Ileana Reynolds, and others, keep track of the arsenals of nuclear-armed nations, and release that information annually in the Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists at TM Nuclear Notebook. Arms agreements striving for parity between the two superpowers have reduced stockpiles down from the 1986 all-time high point, when there were almost 70,000 nuclear weapons between the two. The precise numbers of warheads available for immediate launch are dizzying. In addition to changing each year, they can be counted in different ways, depending on how they are reported and by whom. As of early 2024, the generally accepted totals, in the West, are as follows. Russia TMS 312 nuclear-armed ICBMs can carry up to 1,197 nuclear warheads, with around 1,090A on ready for launch status. The US keeps 400 nuclear weapons loaded onto its 400 ICBMs, all ready for launch. The US keeps more of its nuclear weapons loaded onto its Ohio-class submarines, somewhere around 970. Russia keeps about 640A of its nuclear warheads loaded onto its submarine-launched ballistic missiles. Aoparitya means sameness. Aonuclear paritya means the state of being relatively equal. Parity still guarantees the annihilation of everyone on either side. AOE may be likened to two scorpions in a bottle, A. Robert Oppenheimer once said of the arms race between the US and Russia, AOH capable of killing the other, but only at the risk of his own life. A. Scorpions as a species will likely survive nuclear war. Arachnida with book lungs have been around for hundreds of millions of years. Scorpions came before the dinosaurs, they lived through the dinosaur TM extinction, and will likely outlive humans. After nuclear World War III, the scorpions' TM hard shells will protect them from the radiation that will kill off most of the humans who manage to initially survive the fireballs, the blast, and the ensuing firestorms. Oppenheimer neglected to mention that not every scorpion battle ends in dual death. Sometimes, one wins. These armored predators can also be cannibals. The victorious scorpion sometimes eats the vanquished scorpion, like a prize fighter with a victory meal. Here in Domarevsky, at the nuclear launch facility hidden underground, Russian officers with the 13th Omberg Red Banner Rocket Division prepare for launch. Parity means Russia TMS launch protocols are almost identical to launch protocols in the US. The Russian president sends nuclear launch codes down the chain of command. The launch codes are received in 38 or 39 missile regiments across Russia. Launch officers arm their missiles. They type in target coordinates. Turnkeys. Across Russia, ICBM silo doors blow open and their missiles launch. One after the next road mobile launchers fire their missiles, one after the next. All but a few are headed for targets in the United States, TESA 1000 of them. Russia keeps more than 1,000 nuclear weapons on ready for launch status. Here, a Sarmatikmo aka Son of Satan 08 test fires from a snowy field in Russia. Ministry of Defense of the Russian Federation, 45 minutes, 1 second. Aerospace Data Facility of Colorado, in space, 22,300 miles above the Earth. Car-sized sensors in a constellation of school bus-sized U.S. early warning satellites see hundreds of Russian ICBMs launch from their missile silos and road mobile launchers. In the Aerospace Data Facility in Colorado, the data start coming in across computer screens, like a fist to the throat. First one, then 10, then 100, 200, 300. It takes only seconds for the black avatars of hundreds of ICBMs to fill the screens. There is only one thing to think in this moment. Only one thing to say. The Russians have launched. From the commander, to the analysts, to the systems engineers, everyone in the classified arena here knows instantly there is nothing anyone can do to stop these intercontinental ballistic missiles from striking the United States. Hundreds of millions of Americans are about to die. There are 40 US interceptor missiles remaining, of the original 44, 36 of them in Alaska, 4 at Vandenberg Space Force Base. Even if every one of these interceptor missiles were to defy odds and shoot down 40 of the incoming warheads deployed by Russian ICBMs, another 960 warheads or so would get through. The commander of the aerospace data facility picks up the phone and sends a series of encrypted emergency messages to the doomsday plane, and to the US nuclear command and control centers that remain standing. The missile warning center inside Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. The global operations center beneath Upt Air Force Base in Nebraska. Site R. The alternate national military command center inside Raven Rock Mountain in Pennsylvania. Three facilities that themselves are almost certainly top targets for the incoming Russian ICBMs. In the words of former Vice Admiral Michael J. Connor, commander of U.S. Submarine Forces, anything fixed is destroyable. All personnel in each of these facilities must now prepare for two new things at once: to launch a massive nuclear counterattack against Russia, to withstand a direct hit from one or more nuclear bombs. But who will stay at their posts? Who will cut and run? What matters anymore? Part 4. The next, and final, 24 minutes, 48 minutes, Cheyenne Mountain Complex, Colorado. Inside the brainstem that is Cheyenne Mountain, the commander receives the tracking data and prepares emergency messages for Site R, NORAD, NORTHCOM, and STRATCOM, in a vein similar to what happened when this all began, some 48 minutes ago. On satellite comms, and from their various locations in the air and on the ground, the commanders of U.S. Nuclear Command and Control System are assembled to absent those who were at the Pentagon and are now dead. From the bunker beneath Site R, in the Blue Ridge Mountains, the Secretary of Defense and the Vice Chairman weigh in. With the launch of the entire Russian ICBM force, the SecDef has been sworn in as acting president. From the airborne command center inside the doomsday plane, he is still flying in circles above the American Midwest. The STRATCOM commander awaits launch orders from the acting president. The black book remains open in front of him. A review of the attack assessment is short. There are some 1,000 Russian nuclear warheads headed for the United States. There are 6 minutes to decide which counterattack to execute, but faster is better given the circumstances. Former CIA Director General Michael Hayden explains why. Launching all-out nuclear war is a designed for speed and decisiveness, a Hayden says. A RTMS not designed to debate the decision. Besides, there is more hellfire to come. The dreaded SLBMs from the Russian Navy are about to launch. 48 minutes, 10 seconds, near France, Joseph Land Archipelago, Arctic Ocean. At the top of world, where the Arctic Ocean meets the Barents Sea, three Russian submarines punch their way through more than 5 feet of floating sea ice, each one surfacing simultaneously within a few hundred feet of the others, same as three Russian subs did flawlessly in March 2021, during a military drill. Except, this is not a drill. Two of the three submarines are the K-114 Tula, with the NATO reporting name Delta IV. These nuclear-powered, ballistic missile submarines have long served as a workhorse of the Russian submarine fleet. The third is a newer Borei-class sub, faster and stealthier than its Soviet-era predecessors. Each submarine carries 16 nuclear-tipped missiles. Each missile carries 4 100 kiloton warheads in each warhead bus, meaning there are 192 warheads here inside these three Russian submarines. Three submarines, with a payload of 19.2 megatons of explosive yield. The temperature outside is minus 22 degrees Fahrenheit. Winds whip across the submariners at E.M. Conning Towers at 70 miles per hour. Each submarine begins launching its missiles at 5-second intervals. One missile after the next.